But I'd like to read just a little bit, you know, and talk to you just like a brother. As I say so many times, that's what Jesus did. And Jesus would preach to the people without, and the disciples so often would say things like, why do you speak to them parabolically or in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say? And then you say, well, how did they know that it was parabolic? Because how did they know what he was saying? Jesus said, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Paul said, pray that I'll be able to preach the mysteries and bring forth the mysteries. And he said, the Lord, he said, that it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Great is the mystery of godliness, and I'm made a steward of the mysteries. And it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He said, but them that are without, he said, it's not given unto them to know the mysteries. So then there is something there. Why would it be given unto the apostles to know the mysteries? If it's just a matter of preaching the gospel, he was preaching it to the others, why tell the apostles about mysteries? Why burden the people down, as someone would say, with mysteries? You know, have we got time for mysteries? Why not let us eat, drink, and be merry, and to praise the Lord that he died for us, and we're waiting when he says change will change and that'll be it. See, but that ain't the way it is, folks. You know, you don't just pass by the schoolhouse and throw up your hand at your friend or blow the horn and keep going, and then when time for the diplomacy comes, you go over to the graduation to get your diploma. You don't do that. It is a constant study. It is a constant submission to the garbage of this world that you might graduate as one that's ignorant, and that you might project your ignorance throughout your lifetime as knowledge that puffeth up to think that you're something when you're nothing. See, but nevertheless, it is a shadow and a type. It is that thing of the tree of knowledge that Satan has set up. Science, knowledge, falsely so called. And the Bible said, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Or that is to say, consider themselves to be wise, they become fools. And even when the Lord Jesus was in the world, they did not recognize him. So by the foolishness of preaching as to their intelligence and intellectual, as to the old tree of understanding, as knowledge they call it, they crucify the Son of God with all their learning. But this is the mind of Christ, and you're in school and as children, and all the invisible things are understood by these visible types. So you're in school and you're growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus to the full measure, of the full stature, to the full understanding, to the full reward. So this is why we come to church. That means that as you would have your tutor as a teacher to write on the board, and he say, as we would in simplicity, two and two makes what? He would say, two and two would make a mystery. I'd say, well, what is the mystery? You'd say, four. So I'd say, five and five, what does five make? You say, that's a mystery. So we say, five and five makes 10. And then you would do a little figuring, you know, and you put something else on the board. And here you would say, I'll put down 5 and I'll put down 200. And now I'm going to subtract 2 from the 5. And what do I get? Somebody said, well, you got a mystery. And they said, well, 2 from 5 would leave 3. How about I go any higher than that? I stay where I'll understand what I'm saying. All right, so then we see the great, wonderful mysteries of God. And we bring forth to you as a tutor a formula that you might apply this formula, and then you got a mystery. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. I'm a teacher, he said, and I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. And so as with science, you know, the formula comes together and they begin to put this formula together, you know, and they say, and when you get through with this, this spells this and this spells out this, and We find out something about water and something about gases and a few things that we brought out here at times to bring out a few of these formulas to show you that in the spirit, it is identically the same. Now, if you're in grammar school, you're not going to understand things that are in the high school concerning chemistry and a lot of the other things as to the teachings that they're going to have. You're not going to understand those things. Algebra and all these kind of things you learn as you move on. See, if you are in an elementary grade, you're not going to understand these things. I know youth is learning more and more. But you have to move on. So don't get discouraged because you don't understand what Brother Taylor understands. After all, the Bible speaks of them that's being full of age, having by reason exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. They understand these things as to the meat being for the strong. But you being a babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. See to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus. And keep on doing what you can and don't get discouraged. The little boy that knows his ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, he's not discouraged because he can't work some kind of scientific formula. A lot of things that scientists do that you don't know nothing about. Even now, after you come out of school, and even after you come out of college. See, they're graduated in their minds as Einstein. Just because you don't have $1 million, you're not going to throw your $5,000 away, are you? Or because you're not a billionaire, you're not going to throw the millions that you got into the ocean. You wouldn't do that, now would you? So you just do what you can with what you've got. And that's the way that we have to do it. So I just keep on doing what little I can. You keep on doing what little you can. We just keep on moving along in the Lord, growing to the full measure of the full stature. Like I said to Sister Betty today, I hope you don't mind me just saying a few words here. And I said, Sister Betty, I'd like to have it all. I said, that's the way I feel. And I said, Lord, just give me all of it. And then I say, Lord, I just like to understand everything. Well, as the Bible said, we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. So I said, I'd love to just know all things. And the Bible said, let this mind be in you, it was also in Christ Jesus, which knows all things. For all things that my Father has made known to me, I've made known to you. And we're heading for the full stature, that is to know all things. And I said, I just love to know all things. And I said, you know the only way you can do that? The Bible said, everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. That is, he'll be righteous as his master. He'll be perfect as his master. He'll know all things as his master. And he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me, even as I overcome and have sat down in the throne with my heavenly Father. Heaven being his throne, earth being the footstool. And I said, the way that thing works, Betty, is that if I become one with him, then, see, it's like you're everywhere at all times, knowing everything. And I said, it's like this. You know, you got a bucket of water. You're going along with a bucket of water. Like I said, I used to do when I was a boy and have to carry the water. And maybe skipping along or singing or whatever, going along with a bucket of water. And it'd be coming up from the springs out of the woods. And I said, you got a bucket of water. And if the bucket of water could talk, it could say, I would love to be all of it. Then I think, well, now the only way it could be all of it, you'd have to be one with it. So I look out here and here's the lake. So I said, now if the bucket of water wants to be all of it, I'll just empty you in and there you are, you're all of it. See, you're one with it and you're all of it. How do you understand what I say? Let's give the Lord a hand. So that's what God wants. He wants us just to be one with it, that we might be all of it. See, when you pour that bucket of water in there, you can't find that bucket of water anymore. Now, can you? Can you? Where is the bucket of water? Somebody said it's over here. Somebody says it's over there. Somebody says over yonder. I said, well, it's everywhere. You know why? Because it's one. That's the way your spirit should be with God. Chapter 10. Let's read this. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. This is Revelation. Clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, and nations, and tongues, and kings. Okay, now I said I'm just going to talk here just a little bit. And I don't really know what I'll be saying. I don't understand altogether just how things would go as to talking with you. But I do want you to notice something. And Jesus said, it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But he said unto you, it is given. And then I read here, in the days of the voice, the mystery shall be finished. Now it is given unto you and I to know the mysteries. And in the days of the voice, the mystery shall be finished. Paul said, pray for me because I've got a revelation. That is, I've got a mystery that's going to be revelated. And you pray for me because this will be a revealing of some secret thing. And again, I refer to this back here where it says in the original text that the secrets of God shall be finished. As again to say, he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret places of the Most High. Then I say to you again, Paul in his revelation, he said all of the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear. So it is said here that the mystery, it is given unto you to know the mysteries. And the Bible said when Jesus come, he opened his mouth and proclaimed things as to mysteries that had been hid from the foundation of the world. And we think like this. We think, well, we read in the Bible. We never read, Brother Pike, where Jesus ever brought out the mysteries that you're bringing out. And that's true. And we read in the Bible and we find that he said, and greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. Or we could say, well, glory to God, Brother Pike, and somebody has brought out greater things than Jesus. Oh, they're going to do greater things than Jesus. And that's yes and that's no. See, that is to say, he never brought these things out. You don't find these in the Bible. You don't find them in his teachings. And yet Paul brought out some of them. But yet Jesus was before Calvary. That is, there was no Calvary without him going to the cross. And he was before Calvary, bringing about as John the end of the law and the prophets to make an end of sin. And we say, well, then he never did bring out these great mysteries. But then that's where you're wrong. Because when Brother Pike preaches, the Bible said it's not him speaking, but it's that Jesus that's still bringing out these beautiful things. But he didn't bring them out before Calvary in that body. He's bringing them out now in my body. And in your body, because it's still his body, and it is him speaking, and he is the one that's bringing all of this. All of these great and mighty things is him. That is now greater things, because he's come out of the veil, the Christ has, and the body is now gone as to the veil to take away sin. And now there's no hindrance as to sin to them that come to the revelation of the Son of God, and the Lord can speak from heaven. Whereas the Bible said, and he shall speak from heaven, and if those that resisted Moses in that day, when Moses spake, was counted worthy of death, of the punishment as to the earth opening up and swallowing them up, how much greater sore punishment shall they be thought worthy that will trample the blood of Jesus under their feet and put him to an open shame as to crucify him afresh, or to neglect to hear him that speaketh from heaven, because the Bible said, and they shall all be taught of God. And it's not you speaking, but it's God, or the Heavenly Father, speaking within you. So then we're thankful because it is still God speaking. That is why that I love to minister. That is why I love to understand these mysteries. Because I'm thrilled just like you're thrilled. And thou that teachest another, teachest not thine own self. Or isn't it true that God that is speaking within me is telling me just like he is telling you? And it is, isn't it true that day after day as I talk with God and I seek God and I try to walk with God that I'm enjoying these wonderful things with a continuation? He that be of a merry heart, he hath a continual feast. And the Bible said, wine maketh the heart merry. And the Bible said that if we'll honor the Lord with our substance, whether it's our bodily substance or whatever it might be as to the things of the world, if we'll honor the Lord with the substance, then our barns will be filled with plenty. Our presses shall burst out with new wine. At Pentecost, they spoke of them being drunk off of the new wine. So then we find that as it is said at the marriage supper, he saved the best for the last. And here we are, the last of the generations coming in, and he has saved the best for us, because this light that has been, severally speaking, as to a seven-dimensional unfolding, as to the refracted light that come through the prism from Calvary, as the Jesus the stone coming crying, grace, grace, grace. See, this will become sevenfold in the end time. And as it was with Jesus in oneness, then it'll break down seven times through the church ages to manifest God, that the light doesn't come upon us to consume us all at one time. And then in the end time, compile itself back to that oneness, that it might be Christ in the midst of the candlesticks, and that we might have the sevenfold light that will change us into the wonderful image of the Son of God. So then here comes Jesus at Calvary, crying, grace, grace, grace. And he comes to capstone. That is, he comes to capstone what Moses had said, what had been done as to the redemption of all those writings and ritualistics and things that was imposed upon the Jew. He come to fulfill that to perfection and then capstone it and say, Father, it is finished, and that would be the end of it. All right, so folding up the law, taking away the transgression, that you would never sin again. Coming, making an end of sin. 483 years, the dividing asunder to the rent veil, 7 years over here left for the tribulation or the time of Jacob's trouble. Anything from the 483 years at Calvary, that's the end of the world over here, as to this 7 years where this comes back together, all that is heaven in between that, which is the church ages, for the world ended there at Calvary. So then ye are they that dwell in heaven, and God has chosen you out of the flesh, into the spirit, into God, for at death, that is the death of your body, reckon yourself to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, your baptism, then your angelic being went away to be with God, and in heaven they're all as the angels, which means spirits. There's neither male nor female. That's as to the body for reproduction for God's temple, or to have the molds to mold the intermand, all the spirit in, as Christ within you, I'm travailing till he be formed within you. As the little one that is formed within the womb of the mother, that it might come forth at the opening of the matrix. And so then the veil is rent in twain at Calvary, and the little one comes forth as the headship first, breaking through the spheres. When we stand here, We think about the revelation of the Lord, and here's the Lord down here. Now, up here, above the second heaven, is the third heaven. And down here, as to the grace, we see the Lord. See some things happening, and I can't speak particular of because of a mixed congregation, and some of you would take it wrong because some people are so dirty minded, especially them that dwell in the flesh, that their thoughts are continually evil, and even their conscience are defiled, and all they can think of is wrong. See, so it makes it difficult to bring out many beautiful, lovely things. But anyway, as to say this, as coming from earth, going from this dimension to the third dimension, it goes by the way of the second dimension, which is second heaven, where Lucifer is, having climbed up into the upper lintel, and that by grace, living in the human bodies that have grace. See, for the blood is on the seat of atonement as to them that are without in the world. For he died to take away the sins of the world. And as the vision I had, he came to me while I was in darkness and put the ring on my finger when he said, "Where's the stone of thy birth?" He sought us. We didn't seek him. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So then from this first heaven going up to that third heaven, he had to penetrate this second heaven. I remind you again, Daniel praying down here, calling to the third heaven up here, and breaking through the second heaven. The angel had to go back and get reinforcement to fight his way through this barrier. See, the atmosphere, the hemisphere, the stratosphere. See, still a gravitational force pulling back. Now, and this is in a curvature, of course. Now, when we think of this, Shepherd broke through that as a door, showing us a type. And here we see Jesus coming from down here, penetrating, going back into heaven, because he came from heaven. And he came through the birth of the virginity of the woman, made of a woman, made under the law, in the fullness of time, made in the image of sin. And so then when he left from here to penetrate, hanging between heaven and earth, to show the cross of penetrating the second realm, then it had to do with the gendering as to the seed of life going into the vagina, as to the heavenly sauce, and with that as to what you call the rending of the veil as of Calvary, and to this penetration in the conception of the divine seed as to the headship itself. And with that as to what we call the rending of the veil or the circumcision. That is to say, that had to be as to Calvary or the Lord Jesus, for God gave unto them the sign of the circumcision at to the eighth day, which means to take away the veil, or that is to say, that was the covenant. That was the covenant. A lot of things we could say about the covenant. I would like to be able to say those things. But nevertheless, this was the covenant. That is to say, all the way from the expulsion, life had to come through the serpent. I hope you can understand. Life had to come to the through the serpent because it was the serpent that got into the woman. Now think about this now. The woman represented flesh as the humanity. And God had to make a woman to represent flesh. Because the woman as the receptacle of life, so is the flesh the receptacle of life as to the spirit. So the reality of it was as God and Jesus, and Jesus and man and woman, as to the head of or the head of the head of. You understand what I'm saying? Now, so then, here is the spirit and the body. But God had to have a man and a woman to show the spirit and the body. For our intellectual concept of understanding is to the indoctrination. Adam was not in the transgression. He was the body of the Spirit as to the Son of God. But when he was made in the Spirit, he was only made in the image of the illumination, which was the invisible image of Almighty God, which was Christ Jesus. As to the foreknowledge of God, he projected himself into an image, saw himself in this image as Jesus, and this image came forth. And as the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld it as an image of a human being. So then we see that is to the expulsion, out went Adam. For Adam was really the woman. It's to the feminine. It went through the type. We saw the woman going out and then the man coming out. So we see as to later, the pursuit of him that was not in the transgression as to the second man, Adam. Or that is to say, the illumination as to the image coming, seeking the lost wife. That is the spirit seeking the body that had been taken away. Because as it was in Jude, the dispute over the body is, light is saying, this is my body. I made it to manifest myself. And darkness is saying, this is my body. It is of the dust, and I am the God of this world, and these elements belong to me. So then, as the spirit of darkness as to intellectual ignorance, as to the old tree of knowledge that brings death, it is in pursuit of the body that it might project its intelligence as to its ability. Satan, that from the tree of knowledge, sitting in the temple of God, his temple ye are, showing himself that he is God with his intellectual ability and with his way of life of telling the weather and controlling and the governments and all these things of the world through the mighty power, Satan, even the God of this world, and the system, which is the system of Satan, and those that are the subjects of Satan that savors the things that be of the world or loves the things of the flesh. They're taken into captivity at the will of the devil. So then we see all the way from the garden down to Calvary and even past Calvary, and those that have not been born again, still the same generation from that old tree of knowledge. We see John the Baptist laying the axe to the root of the tree, and the tree is cut down as to the family tree all the way back to the garden. And now those that live in pleasure and in sin are dead while they live. And the day thou eatest out, thou shalt surely die. Jesus hanging upon the cross as he that hangeth upon a tree. It is said in the Old Testament, everyone that hangeth upon a tree is cursed. And Judas hang upon a tree to show the old serpent and the death. See, as to the son of perdition, while the son of life went on to the resurrection. But Jesus going to Calvary was made this darkness. This morning I lost a gentleman. He couldn't take it when I got over there speaking of Jesus having to do with the serpent. But anyway, being in spiritual ignorance, when the light shines in darkness, the darkness comprehends it not. But ye are children of light, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And the mysteries must be finished. That is to say, the mysteries must come to you, and you must be tutored with these mysteries through the schooling of God until you complete your course. And then when you complete your course, you have comprehended as to with the redemption of the body, and the body cannot sleep after that. Like you take vitamins, you get all worked up, keyed up, and you can't go to sleep even when dark comes. See, and like Sister Betty said the other day, I think she took a vitamin too, and she was all keyed up. See, you understand what I'm saying? Now you can do the same thing. Getting down before God, you get all keyed up. You don't want to go to sleep. Like Moses for 80 days up there. He wasn't hungry. He had things to do. All right, we're coming here for 3 hours. The Spirit could speak to us. We got in the Spirit. Well, it wouldn't hardly seem like 15 minutes. But when we come in here and we just sit here and we're hot and uncomfortable, our carnal mind says, carnality, carnality, carnality. Where is the air conditioner? You know, I'm hot, I'm uncomfortable. And just it's carnal to me, and it's continual war, and it's continual war in heaven because there's two spirits fighting, and in the spirit that is heaven. Like when the lightning started today, I said, and that's war in heaven. You know, the lightning would pop and off came the veil. See, Satan being cast out, that is to say Calvary, the rent veil. And the battle was on between light and darkness, because when you're born in this world, you have intellectual darkness. You're a child of the darkness. You are in ignorance. And as long as you are in ignorance as not to know the will of God, then the blood of Christ Jesus applies for you even when you're out there in the world, because it is shed for the ignorant. But then when you come to know good and you do it not, then it is a sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And once you come to the knowledge of the truth of God, and then you continue on, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, only a fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. All right, so we see the expulsion. What is the expulsion? the illumination lifted. When the illumination lifted, he looked around and there was briars. It's like the little fable that we read about. We understand those things. See, but we can't understand spiritual things. He looked around. Where was the garden? All of a sudden it was all gone. See, where were the beautiful trees, the flower? There were no more. Why? He was the same Adam in the same place. Somebody said, well, I think what God done, he got him a whip and he just drove him out of that garden and he locked the gate. No, he was right where he was to start with. Right where he was to start with. But what happened to the garden? The same thing happened to the garden as to the little fable. Cinderella, she's all dressed up. She's all beautiful. She's at the ball. She's having a time. Everything is just fine and she's with her Prince Charming. But the warning was, don't go past the midnight cry. Well, we could say a lot of things about a little fable. I like the singer, Pat Boone, said he never knew so many things was in a little fable when he got that concerning the little glass slipper as to hear and I take. But see, when the midnight cry come, what happened? All of a sudden, the pumpkin instead of the chariot, the mice instead of the horses, rags instead of riches. See what happened to the garden? What happened? It was an illumination. See, Adam and Eve had been illuminated by the mind of Christ, by the presence of Almighty God. You know, you get illuminated, you feel like you're in heaven, somebody says. The atmosphere of the rain on the just and the unjust. But see, the time came to expose, and all of a sudden there stood Adam. Instead of riches, it was rags. There stood Eve in travail to bring forth her children under the curse. Adam under the curse, in the travail of the briars, as to say the thorns upon his head. That is to say, Jesus becoming our sin. The curse, to lift us, to take us out from under the curse. From that time on, the reproduction of mankind, the gendering together to bring forth life, as the children, it was life through the serpent. Because man is a generation of vipers, born in Adam as to all die. He's on his belly. All of his labors for his belly and his mouth. That's why he turns into a gay. That's why he turns into a sodomite. Leaving the natural use of the woman as to reproducing, as the Bible said, to multiply. And burned in their lust one toward another, to where they just want to eat each other up. As a matter of fact, I've told you of cases I heard of where the man took his wife and took the secret parts and cut them up and eat them. And another man walking along and was picked up by somebody. And while this man was driving, he looked over at his hitchhiker and the man pulled a hand out and was eating the hand. And these horrible, hideous things, cannibalistic. See, the minds of devils and demons that are gradually leading through seducing spirits, gradually leading you into insanity, into cannibalistic action, taking you away from truth and not having a love for the truth. God is turning the whole world over to the mind of Satan as to know the depths of Satan. Many people have never known the depths of Satan as to his evil, his debauchery, his wretchedness. And youth are losing their virtue. They're losing their mind. They're losing their stability. See, and they're going deeper and deeper and deeper into the depths of that darkness, of that corruption. All right, so the whole world is heading in that way. And the only thing that is keeping from that right now is the illumination of the blood on the seat of atonement as to the grace of God to those people out there, to keep religion revived and alive in the world. Just something as to whether they preach the gospel for contention or money, prestige or pride, whatever it might be. Nevertheless, herein I rejoice, Paul said, because the gospel is preached. The word of God is talked about enough for them to kind of keep a little stability out there. Not that they're going to heaven. All right, so then they are illuminated. When the illumination left, everything was gone. When the blood comes off the seat of atonement, all of that out there, their chariots are going to turn into pumpkins. They're going to throw their money to the bats. They're going to beg for the mountains to fall on them. And this glitter and glamour of the world, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, has to say, in during the time of grace, they could be saved, but they're gone with their foolishness, taking advantage of God. All that's going to be gone, because the illumination is going to be gone. When the illumination is gone, it won't be heaven anymore with them. And intellectual darkness will be there till they will gnaw their tongue for pain. They can't even have a healing medicine, because all that's from God through the illumination. And they'll be out there as beasts, and the reflectors as to the world of vanity, as to the mirror of what you've been seeing out there is only the reflection as to all heavenly things reflected by earthly things, and the people and the things round about as to the reflection, all of that be gone when the day star withdraws as the church going out, and you'll find out all of that belong to you, the world and the fullness thereof, and all things that pertain unto life, and all they were that was just a mirror out there catching that day star that's in your heart as to whom you are in the body. And all of that's really you. And it's just symbolic. And out there it is vanity of vanities, as the vanity or mirror that you look into. See, and it's just a reflection. So all of the heavenly things are understood by those reflections. As soon as the sun goes down, there's no light in the mirror. As Satan, the reflection, as to the God of reflection, as to the world, a kingdom of reflection. And as to those that are gullible out there, they reflect the life. And in a few short years, they're put in the dirt because life withdraws, because they are a reflector. And they go into the ground and the worms eat them because the illumination is gone. But folks, not with you and I. We are born to the Shekinah glory. We are not, as it was, the terms was used, as someone said, looking at the two pictures, said, and the light was over Brother Branham's head. Said, but folks, the dissipation, as to this picture that Sister Lambert had taken, said, this is an interwoven light, and the image isn't there anymore, as we say. That shows the church, and that the image is completely changed into the translated light of God. So then, as to say, one had to do with that as to the pillar of fire, God looking at Israel through the blood. And then is to say the body, as to the Jews relating to the world, God is looking to them through the blood that's on the seat of atonement. But as to the cloud that came down, when I saw this cloud, the Bible said, and they were all baptized in the Red Sea and in the cloud, as to say cloud, Holy Ghost, because all of them, those things have symbols. Now, unto God. So we find that the grace is upon everybody. They were all baptized in the cloud and in the Red Sea unto Moses. That is, the Red Sea is to the blood, it's to Calvary. Everybody, grace is upon everybody. The Spirit is poured out upon everybody, the rain on the just and the unjust. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for turning back into Egypt in their heart, they went whoring after the things of the world. And the Bible said when Aaron made the golden calf, they went whoring after the golden calf. So it is not, as we say, water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink. But it is being interwoven as being born to the Spirit of God, having the kingdom of God within you, born of His Spirit. If you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. Having the Spirit in here sealed your spirit by this Spirit, and evil cannot touch you. Your body doesn't count. It's dead. It's gone. It's no longer alive in the sight of God. It's dead. He doesn't see you're stumbling, you're staggering. As to the body, blessed is the man whom God will not impute sin. And God imputeth righteousness without works by His faith to him. All right. Therefore, being justified, we brought that out today as to how that justification is. When He was raised for our justification, being justified by faith as to His raising unto justification, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that life then came through the serpent. Because as with Eve, as with Cain, So then, as to the seed of the serpent, as to being born to the evil one, that's the reason he killed his brother, being Satan's seed. Then as in Abel, the death is to the body, and the replacement is to the spirit, with Seth and then the multiplying of the generation. But when we come back, leave the type, all flesh is corrupted its way before God, whether it's Abel, whether it's Seth, whatever it might be, all flesh has corrupted its way before God, and there hasn't been but one that was found good as a fleshly body, and that did not come through the serpent as through Adam all die, but it was a divine conception as from God to a new blood life, and the regeneration as to the washing of regeneration as to the water of the word, and to start a new generation as Christ Jesus, the first fruits of them that slept, are the first brother among many brethren. So that's what we are today as to the regenerated. All right. We see then that everything from the garden expulsion down to Calvary was the serpent. All of life that we were reproduced as to multiplying and replenishing was through the old serpent, that's on its belly. And then when we come to Calvary, Jesus comes in the likeness of that Adam that went out of the garden to show the head of that serpent. See, and his people and his generation and the old tree of knowledge. So, that is to say, the weakness of Eve as to that which was interwoven within the body, in that the body is the temple of God, or that is the church. To come to Calvary, to come in the image of darkness. For as long as Jesus walked with the Heavenly Father, he was the image of light. He was the illumination of light. And his Father was one, and it was in the image of Almighty God. But then as to the expulsion to show Adam losing out, all of a sudden the illumination lifted, and now Jesus is an image of darkness, made sin. Not that he was sin, nor was he the image of darkness, only in the sense that he came in the image of darkness. But he trapped Lucifer, the spirit of darkness, in this image as to make it an image of darkness or an image of sin. And he that knew no sin was made our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So then he made in himself twain both light and darkness, as to an image of darkness. When the illumination lifted, then here is the image, and everything goes dark, for the sun withdraws us to the day star, and like sackcloth of hair, it's black as night. God withdrawn, and Jesus said, "Light, O light, why hast thou forsaken me? O my Father, who is the great light, what have I done?" See, but being made sin, my sin, that he might die out of the presence of God, that I might be made his righteousness of the other side as to the Christ, then that I might live eternally in the presence of God. God giving his own son. All right, so we esteem him smitten of God, bruised for our transgressions, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The veil was rent in twain as the light was separated from the darkness. And the body was folded up and laid away as to this body of death, and that the darkness had gotten into the body. And that body, of course, was Eve, as to the man Adam. Or as unto God, which is not a type, it was the body as unto the spirit, the body of humanity. So then Jesus did this to separate your spirit from your body, to plant your body as in a watery grave of death, to say that God can see the shadow no more of the bastard child images, to the infiltration of the gullible desire of the lust of your flesh in the world. So it's over. Neither does he see them people out there that are out in sin. It covered all. For to do away with the body, he had to cover all of them. But there is a difference between you and I as to them that are out there. As to say that we have something that they don't have. We are born to the Spirit, and our spirit is in heaven, and our spirit went back to God who gave it at the rent veil to reckon ourselves to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus as unto the world and unto sin. No more transgression as to sinful flesh. So our body was buried in the name of the Lord Jesus. Our spiritual angelic inner man went back to God who gave it. But at this time, the blood is still on the seat of atonement to take care of your body as to be dead. So that means, as to the world, they're also dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus to our Heavenly Father as to the grace. But someday, when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, they will not be dead. And these that are dead, as because of sin, the Bible says the body is dead because of sin, all of a sudden then the light will bring this body to a perfection as through this transformating power, and then it'll be changed like that as to the image of the heavenly. And them that are bearing the image of the earthly as to the first man, the illumination will be gone as to our change, and the light will be gone out, and the wrath of God will be upon them, as we brought it out a little bit this morning, didn't have time to really bring it out to the ozone being gone as to the Jews coming in. We won't try to get into that tonight. Brought out a little of it today. The Bible said, give the more speed to the things you've heard, lest at any time you shall let them slip. Take heed how you hear these things. Alright, so then, the serpent, finally God smites that head at Calvary. He smites that head as Jesus comes in that image of sin. The illumination lifts from Jesus as to God forsaking him. Now, we see then that the head is smitten. When the head is smitten at Calvary, what does it mean? It means the circumcision, having to do with the serpent. Or the circumcision, to say as to move the veil, is the covenant that God made with man as to the life-producing parts of mankind. So then we see here that the Christ on the inside, which is the head of the church, is taken out of the veil, and the veil is the part as to the circumcision and doing away with the body and bringing forth the Christ, which is the head of the church, as to the true one that brings life. And so the generation of the serpents is over, and there the veil is rent. We see that as to the new way of life and the entrance as into the matrix and the seed of the vagina, and then the travail of Calvary, and then the child comes forth, because as to the water, as to the blood, as to the spirit, we are baptized into the water as to the body. And the soul, as to the life with the blood, is baptized with fire, as to say the blood of Jesus burning out the chaff. And then the spirit is baptized as to the cloud with the Holy Ghost, as to say our spirit entering into his spirit, and his spirit and our spirit one, and his soul and our soul one, and our body and his body one. As to his soul going into hell to keep my soul from going, in that the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So then we see that what he did is Joseph down in the heart of the earth, coming up to the right hand of Pharaoh, bringing in the millennium. So we see the sign of circumcision fulfilled. Now, we're on this side of Calvary. What is it with us? Is it then the 6 days of labor? No. Is it then the seventh day as to his millennium rest? No. What is it then? It is the circumcision as to the eighth day of the child, when the veil of our body is gone. Because we're the head of the nation, we're the true Jews. And as to those that will follow, then the sign of circumcision, and then it is gone. When Calvary came, the body of Jesus as to darkness went away as to that which was made sin. And the members of that body, as to the circumcision being the Jews, was left on the other side of Calvary, over here. And then as to that which was as to the opening of the matrix, and then that which had to do with life, not as the serpent, but as to that had to do with the headship that penetrated, as we say, the matrix of the second heaven into the heavenly third heaven as to the vagina, and the seed of life there as to you and I, and we say travailing into Christ be formed within us, that is to say caught up to the third heaven. So we see the shadows dissipating. We see everything going away as it was on the mountain when we spoke of the mountain here. And here it is on the mountain And as to, the Bible speaks of that as of to the stones, as in a fight, should a woman grab the stones, her hand would be cut off. And as to the stone, if a stone was broken, as to the man couldn't enter into the congregation of the righteous. And we see as to the two stones, here is the stones of life on the mount, as it burns with fire. And one of the stones is broken, and they could not enter into the congregation of the righteous. And then all of a sudden, as to the opening of the matrix, as to the water rolling back, as to the Jordan, then this other as to the stone went over. And life was there as to that world of daylight and many things that we could say about that. But I'm simply saying that here, again, we see the serpent lifted up in the wilderness. And whosoever looks upon the serpent, I brought it out today, no death. Here comes the Lord Jesus as to the end of the serpent. I beheld as lightning, Satan fall from heaven, or the old dragon, or the serpent being cast out. Or that is to say, no more natural life as to blood life, as to the lust of the flesh, as to the bastard child image, as to the generation of vipers. No more of that from Calvary. We are born to the Spirit, the second birth, as it was to the holy way that God intended it from the beginning. And we are born to the seed of God, as to that divine conception, as Christ within us. And so then we are heavenly people. And we have exhaled, we say, come from this side of Calvary over to this side of Calvary. All that is to say, in the heart of the earth, or Him in the heart of our earth. And this Christ going back to God who gave it, our spirit going back to God who gave it, and the body of the old serpent as to the worm, the cocoon, back beyond Calvary, or down here and below Calvary, and up here between heaven and earth. And now the beautiful butterfly with the wings as to the colors of the rainbow, the covenant, flies away and becomes a heavenly creature. Life passing through the worm as to the old serpent, being placed upon the belly as even to the gendering. So then we know that this means that something has taken place. We are a different people. Other people that have fallen from grace are still under the law and still the transgressors, because sin gets its strength from the law. We brought out some things on that today. We won't try to get into that. Now, here's what I'm trying to tell you. Here stands as an angelic being on the land and the sea. As here he stands, and his head reaches clear into heaven, as to the throne of the rainbow. Talking about the seven candlesticks now, having again to do with the seven messengers, as to the refracted light down through the church ages to keep God from coming upon us, to burn us up. It's broke down into rays and light and nourishing until the end, and then it's sevenfold light, and then comes the judgment as to the penetrating of the ozone. Seeing those things, because you that are spiritual would understand what I'm saying. So, as to the six-pointed star, we've explained it to some of you. Some of you won't know what I'm saying. I can't explain that to you, but I've explained it to some of them individually. And as to the woman, the five-pointed star, why it is like that, as to one a six-pointed, as to the man and the woman, a five-pointed. All right, so then we understand this according to what the Bible speaks of as the stem of Jesse, which Jesus, of course, wasn't having to do with what we're saying concerning the stars. Now, we find that in this, that this man is standing on the land and on the sea. It is a man, not a woman, on the land and on the sea. And we see the powerful thing concerning Israel in this image. And the powerful thing concerning their head, even the Lord Jesus. And here, as to the pyramid, as to the feet here and the feet here. As to the pyramid and coming up to the belly, as the old serpent. As the saying is upon his belly. And the first thing, and he says, and the thunders, the finishing of the mysteries. But he said, this will be bitter to the belly. As coming to the belly, as to the gendering again, you know, understand what I'm saying now. As coming to that, as to when Jesus came, the capstone, the first pyramid. Then it came to pass that as this capstone came, and Jesus was going to capstone the pyramid. as all those things from the garden coming up to the end right here. As he went to capstone the pyramid and the stone came crying, "Grace, grace," all of a sudden, instead of God accepting that capstone, he smote Jesus. It became darkness and he smote him and left the thing uncapstone as to the finish. You understand what I'm saying? And Israel, who was that great, wonderful, monumental praise of God, as in the days of Moses, was not capstone. They rejected the revelation. They rejected their head. They rejected Christ Jesus. Because all of a sudden he was made the serpent. Like I've said of Brother Branham was illuminated, doing great, wonderful things. All of a sudden they started this thing of baptizing in his name, when the Bible said there's remission of sin in none other name but Jesus. It told Brother Branham of somebody come off the field. He had a vision. He saw this snake as to a spirit, and it crawled up where he was, and Brother Branham smote it, but it didn't kill it. It crawled off into the water, water having the symbol of people. So then, as the illumination was lifted, then it went as to Brother Branham having the other side like Jesus, two sides to man, and that is to the body of that death, as to that serpent seed. And all of a sudden, he was smitten. The head was bruised, broken, the wreck, horrible. His bones were broken so much till it was unreal. How that those bones were so many broken or broken up. Well, the Bible said concerning Jesus, not a bone of his body shall be broken. Now, so then we could differentiate between that is to see what was going on. Now, with this, I say again that God brought Brother Branham in the end time, if you got just a moment to listen to the finishing here, to show as it was in the beginning. Jesus on that side of Calvary, as to Moses, the end, the prophet like unto Brother Branham, as I was with Moses, forerunning as John, the end of the law and the prophet. That still within the veil, and when the veil was smitten, the head was rent, the brain swelled out as to say the knowledge as to a natural time, and then the message come. When they checked the little cornerstone, as the Brother Branham being the cornerstone of the revival, as that with the natural signs and wonders as to Moses leading them out of Egypt, all of a sudden they looked in that little cornerstone as to the little can, there was nothing in there. Why? Because as an embalmer says, a man is but a shell. Brother Branham laying in the grave, but as a shell. And life is gone from him. And there's no message in that little shell anymore. And the spirit of Brother Branham went back to God who gave it. Had been caught up when he went beyond the veil, looking back at his body there with the wife. Both of them perhaps laying together today. Whereas we spoke of that death, what would come? Now, see, and the Spirit of God moved on, changing his mask, as Brother Branham said. 25 years or more, now another generation. God moving on, doing his thing. Like the vision I had, 25 years. And then we see that Jesus being smitten at Calvary, the standing up here now, your first pyramid, and when it came, it was turned into a serpent, and God smote the serpent and ended the serpent. As is between heaven and earth, the second, as the Christ went up, he smote the body as to the image. He broke through this up here, smiting Satan, and out of heaven he went. Which means he's no longer in my heart as to the kingdom of the world. It's gone. It's in my heart. Now he's gone. Now the kingdom of heaven is in my heart. And now my spirit that was in the worldly atmosphere of the kingdom of the world is now in the kingdom of God by translation, the inward illumination, the interwoven as to the new birth. It is the second heaven. As to the transformating of mind from one dimension to another dimension. As the body of prophet is nothing. Buried in the trespasses and sins of this world. My, I wish we had time to explain that. But just going on with our few little thoughts and then we'll stop. So then he was smitten. Which means that Babylon that was going to be built up to heaven, as the climbing up to heaven with this little thing as a nest among the moon, I'll cast it down to hell as to the Apollo, that of the bottomless pit. See, having climbed up through grace to the upper lintel as to second heaven. That's what the upper lintel means. As to the upper lintel. John saw him in Revelation 12 in the upper lintel. and right there at the mouth of the matrix, ready to devour the child. And we brought that out about the blood life of today. The old red dragon that's already destroyed, it'll come to pass that we'll see it. Doubt the end of the trail will be made manifest. But until they can comprehend, it's not effective as the judgment. Until we can comprehend, it's not effective as to our blessings. We must believe. All is by faith as to a transformation. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith. Faith by the hearing of the word as to the revealed mysteries of the word turning into spirit, as we would say. So then after Calvary, we see it is not the old Babylonian dispersion as to languages and confusion. It's the coming back together as every language or out of every nationality under heaven and speaking as to the Spirit one language, and all of them understood it. Bringing them back together from the ends of the world now and doing away with the confusion as to the separation, because the barrier of Lucifer has been taken out, the old spirit of confusion. Now, one language, and when I bring Zion again, they shall all speak the same thing. See eye to eye. So then here we all come back together. This time it is a pyramid built again. It is the light most precious of that celestial city, as from Pentecost, and that Jesus had laid the foundations of the 12 apostolic leaders, and now the lively stones through the church ages are to be built up as to that open door in heaven. Paul being caught up to the third heaven as to the capstone, the revelation as those that as to the head, not him living, but Christ to the bride. So then we find out that the unveiled mystery as to the circumcision, and now it's gone with Calvary. Now it's the days of the revelation, not the mysteries. So now it's made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God as to the understanding of the revelation. Heaven the treasure in earthen vessels. The old serpent is gone. Life is reproduced now as through Christ himself. Now we're on this side of Calvary, and the light has been refracted. And now we see this capstone not is coming, it's not to be rejected. This city is building up to the Lamb, which is the light thereof, as to the day star, called his star, the bright morning star, until the day star dawns within you. Not as the old dragon star of the pyramid of Egypt, as the civilization from Egypt. So it is the light, and the darkness has been smitten and been rejected. And now the light has been refracted, brought out of darkness. And the Bible said he veiled himself with darkness, and gross darkness covered the people. And then the light has sprang up out of darkness among them that sat in the regions of the shadow of darkness. And the refracted light of the wonderful attributes of the love of God, which we can't go into as to speak to you tonight. So it is very evident that you are going on to a diplomacy to come to the sevenfold light as to the open door which Peter opened with the keys. And at the end of the church ages, John went through that open door as to the church. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is a spirit. It is a spiritual revelation. Upon this spirit is the Christ, my Jesus, I build my church. And the gates of hell as to the people of the world shall not prevail against it. So the mystery shall be finished at the sounding of the last trumpet. We see the pyramid coming up as to the feet. All of a sudden we look and here's some hands. And from here, here's another pyramid. This time it goes up past the belly. And it goes up to the candlesticks or to the rainbow up here, which is the capstoning after Calvary, bypassing that as to the matrix, and bypassing that as to the stem, going on up. And now here it is, Christ in heaven, our very Savior himself at the throne as to redeem the body, of which we could say much about that. But remember, the rainbow was the covenant, and the covenant is refracted light as to the attributes of God. Five rainbow colors, and yet it's a sevenfold ministry as to helps and governments added. But five preeminent colors, predominant. So then, I said if light comes, for it to make a rainbow, it has to strike an object. whether it's a rock with a spray coming out from it, or whether it is the circle of the earth, as the Bible said, God sits upon the circle of the earth, or if we say to those spheres that's going off, atmosphere, hemisphere, stratosphere, ionosphere, whatever it might be, and the light is the day star coming down, a ball of fire, and the light coming down, as it comes down, it strikes the curvature of the earth. As to these things, it rebounds as to the object. When it rebounds back into the way the Lord showed it to me. It comes down, strikes the object of the earth, and rebounds back. When it rebounds back, then it goes up to the circles as to the atmosphere, hemisphere, whatever, and up to these places where the mist of rain has been condensed together up here. And in this, it is the projection as to the screen, and the beauties of the rainbow is seen because of the refracted colors as it penetrates these as to the ionosphere, the atmosphere, and the hemisphere. Otherwise, if the light struck the earth, it would be fire and be consumed. When the ozone is gone, that's what it will have. That's what it will do. So then we see the little Ark of the Covenant. And on top of that, the covering cherubims to the rainbow, of which Paul said we can't speak particular. Maybe we'll speak particular of them as we can. The Lord's shown it a little later. And the mercy seat and whatever. And so we see as to the rainbow, which had to do with this before these dangles were taken down. As to these things and many other things here, if you were spiritual, you would have discerned a lot of these things. All right, so then we see the covenant over the world. That God has made a covenant as to the first judgment as to water, the first witness in the earth, that he will not destroy the earth again with that. Now as to the child in the water, bringing the child forth at the opening of the matrix, then comes the blood. He is a blood bath, for Jesus was a vesture dipped in blood. See, and then he swaddled, and the blood is taken away, for there's no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. So then we see the next thing is the Spirit as brand spanking new, as the little one cries out. That is to say, caught up to the throne as quick as it is born as to be swallowed. And many things we could say about that, as to the water, blood, and Spirit bearing witness in the earth, agreeing in one. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, as they are one. And we're closing right here. So then we understand that with the refracted light, as to striking the prism, then we have the rainbow over the church ages as to the heavenly perspective, as to him standing in the midst of the candlesticks, or the throne, or the angel, as between the second and third woe, or as the last messenger, which is one of the woes. For the three woes is part of the seven trumpets, that sound. And the last angel that's to finish the mysteries is to bring the woe, as to the last of the three woes. Woe, 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 the angel said, as he flew in heaven. Woe unto them. So we find then that there is a refracted light, and much that we could say as to the covenant of this, if we went on to say as to the little ark drawn out of the water, and then on the top of this little ark here, as to Noah's ark in the rainbow, and here is the ark now, as the little ark made out of bulrush, and then the mercy seat set on the top of it, and the little cherubs on it, and it's called the Ark of the Covenant, or saying the Ark of Noah as to the rainbow between man and God. And Moses meaning drawn out of the water, so they carried that as a symbol of God's righteousness and of his life. So when we sing that song, God put a rainbow in the sky. I like to say a lot of things, but I think you can see what I mean about the prism and the rejected stone. Jesus, the rejected stone. The Bible said the same has become the head of the corner as we wrote that song, if we give to him his place. And he has become the head of the corner. This is the work of God in his marvelous in our eyes. All right, let's stand together and let's sing that little chorus. Appreciate your kind attention, patience with me. A bit tired. But I hope you can understand, because much could be said. But I'm reluctant to say some things. I have to be ever so careful. I know that you revel out in the world, and I know it's trashy, and they say all kind of things to you and your children, wives and doctors and dentists, and a bucket of worms, as they say. But the minister, if he says anything, you're ready to hang him. So he has to be very careful, and we want to be anyway as to decency. But just because you are in the hog pens and the waller, don't go somewhere and say something about something decent and godly and holy, which is so beautiful and so wonderful, except for the pigs, when you throw the pearl to him and he roots it around, and the swine will trample it under his feet in his ignorance and turn again and rend him. All right, let's sing together. And the Bible said, all things are pure to the pure that are pure in heart. And to them there is nothing unclean, but to the defiled and unbelieving is there nothing pure. Even their conscience are defiled. Give me another key, Frank. God put a rainbow in my cloud. God put a rainbow in my cloud. When it looked like the sun couldn't shine anymore, God put that rainbow in my spirit. Let God put a rainbow in your cloud. Let God put his covenant in your cloud. When it looks like won't shine anymore, let God put that rainbow in your cloud. Sing it with me. For God put his rainbow in my heart. God put the rainbow in my heart. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put his rainbow in my cloud. Have you ever noticed that with inside, as to the lungs with their pretty color, over the heart like the cherubs, and man beautifully shows the life as to the blood, as on the seat of atonement, as in the kingdom of God. But you could say about that. But God puts his rainbow in that spiritual cloud, because Christ is his covenant, and Christ is his rainbow, and Christ is his life, and he puts it with our spirit. And the illumination of the refracted colors, as to this illumination, as to the glow, which, as we say, as to those candlesticks before the throne, and the light coming from these, as to the ceiling of that book on the backside, of much we could say, as to the angelic beings, as to the church ages, and in it, that light going down into the waters of life as the river of life, and striking it, coming back in that haloed glory of Jesus up here, and the conglomeration of those beautiful colors making that crown of loveliness up here with the jewel colors up here over his head. See how beautiful? How beautiful it is, the celestial city with the jasper-like light as transparency, her light most precious, as to say, the understanding in this world. My, wish we could say something like that. Once again, let's sing it together. For God put his rainbow in my heart. God put that rainbow in my cloud. When it looked like the sun, the day star wouldn't shine anymore. God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your cloud. The altars are open if you'd like to come to the altar. Put a rainbow in the cloud. When it looks like the sun wouldn't shine anymore. Sing it again. So let God put that rainbow in your cloud. So let God
put his rainbow in your cloud. When it looks like the sun shining more, that God put his rainbow in your cloud. One more time. So God put a rainbow in the cloud. So God put that rainbow in the cloud. Looked like the sun couldn't shine anymore. God put that rainbow. One more time together. So let God put a rainbow in my cloud. So let God put his rainbow in your cloud. When it looks like the sun ain't shining more, let God put that rainbow in the cloud. Let's give him a hand, can you? How do you feel real good tonight in the Lord? Isn't he wonderful? Let's sing this little chorus together. I'll try not to hold you long, but let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. The songwriter said he was here all the time. Can we sing that together? I can't sing much, but you can sing. So you sing with me, will you? And he was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here, my Lord was here all the time. Jesus was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here. Oh, one more time together now. My Lord was here the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting in line. He was here all the time, and he touched me. Oh, he touched me, and floods my soul. Something has happened, and now oh, I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. Oh, sing that again with me, can you? For my Lord touched me, and oh, he touched me, and oh, joy that floods my soul. For something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me.
Let's sing this little chorus. I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found thee, the lilies there blooming by the way. And I thank thee for the valleys that I walk through today. Thank thee for every hill I climb, or every time the sun doesn't shine. Thank thee for every moonlit night. I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank thee for the valleys I walk through. Life can't be all sunshine, or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no oh, I thank thee for the valley that I walk today. Thank thee for every meal I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every lonely night. I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And thank thee for the valleys that I walk through today. Can you give the Lord another hand? Let's sing this little chorus. Can we sing this little chorus? Where will you be? Amen. Will you be happy? Will you be singing? While the ages roll, while eternity, I ask this question. Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of birth until it's time to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny. In a million years, where can you sing that with me? Where will you be? Oh, will you be happy? Will you sing? While the ages roll throughout eternity, I ask this question. Where our hands and sing this chorus.